It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Woo! Get excited, Celtics fans! Jason Tatum is friends with Steph Curry and friends with Draymond Green and didn't mention Steve Kerr at all, and it's going to be fun to play him, and they played in the finals 2 years ago, and I don't know, I was expecting a little more oomph there from Tatum. I don't know why I was expecting that. He never really
delivers that. Yeah, that's on you.
That's really not something he does, except when they were raising the banner, and he said, we're going to do it again. That was a little oomph. It's a little excitement there from Jason Tatum.
Yeah, but even that was...
Might have maxed out there, I think.
I mean... I actually think his max here was what they're going to say now, and that's right after winning the world title.
Yeah, that's true. That was like, a good
that's
one.
As
right.
Yep. Jazzed up as he's gotten.
Mm-hmm.
So you expecting something from Tatum was a you problem, not a him problem.
I wasn't really expecting anything from Tatum, although I do expect
him 30-plus
to have a good game tonight. I don't know
if he's going to go out there and shoot.
If he's going to go crazy like that, because I do think that whatever you believe about Steve Kerr, what kind of guy he is and everything, he annoys me too. I find him kind of annoying. He's not a bad coach, and he knows that Jason Tatum's going to be out there looking for blood, and I think he's going to game plan around that. We'll see if it actually makes a difference or not. It might not. The Celtics are a better team than the Golden State Warriors. However, the Warriors are one of the 5 teams in the NBA that's not crappy right now. There's not many. It's kind of what the NFL is suffering from right now. The NBA, and I know we're not very far into the season yet, but the NBA, there's only 5 teams that are more than one game over 500, which is really weird to think. That's in the whole league. I mean, this is really interesting looking at this. The Cavaliers are 8-0. The Thunder 7-0. Celtics are 7-1. The Suns are 6-1, and the Warriors are 6-1. Every other team in the league is either 4-3 or worse. Okay, that's it. That's the whole NBA right now at the 10th of the way through the season point, which again is not really enough to make a big call on or some sort of big declaration about the state of the league. But it does strike me as kind of interesting here that aside from Cleveland, the Celtics are the good team in the East. All the other ones are all the Western Conference, and everybody else is just kind of mediocre or bad to start the year. That's interesting to me, considering all the teams that reloaded and all this extra added motivation to go out there and beat the Celtics. You're not seeing much of that.
No, and some of it I do think is new players with new teams. The thing I always sort of talk about and the chemistry and,
right,
and teams coming together. I just don't know how many really good teams there are. That's the other issue. Like, I don't know that there are a lot of stud basketball teams, and the Warriors have a better point differential than the Celtics.
Yeah.
They're plus 17.3. Now, I haven't watched all their games, so I don't know if they maybe kept their foot on the gas a little bit more or whatever. The Celtics certainly could have a better point differential if they wanted to, if that was a record they were chasing of
probably
some sort.
Yeah,
you know, Tatum might actually play in the fourth quarter of games if they were chasing something like that.
The Warriors only lost this year was to the Clippers. That's the only game they've lost. They beat the Blazers, the Jazz, the Pelicans twice, the Rockets, and the Wizards, who all, I mean, admittedly kind of suck, but yeah, I mean, they beat them all at least.
So both of these teams lost to a 3-4 team,
yep,
right? Because the Clippers are 3-4 and the Pacers are 3-4, so yeah, no, I think the Celtics are the better team. Obviously, my friends at FanDuel agree they're a 6-point favorite in this game.
I'm surprised it's only 6.
Only? Oh, really?
I'm surprised it's only 6. I thought that they would be getting action at least on the Celtics trying to bury Golden State and that there'd be more action on that. You know,
okay,
like
that makes sense.
That
yeah.
seems to me, I don't know if that's exactly what they predict, and that's probably a good like prediction number, but if you're trying to get action, if you're trying to get people to bet, don't you think Celtics fans and people who've been
yes.
watching the league so far be looking at this going, oh yeah, Celtics are going to kick their
and
ass
the
tonight.
Olympics thing.
Right.
That's a big enough story, so that's not
that's
just Celtics fans.
About, right,
but
yeah.
that's not just Celtics fans. That's everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big story. That was a national/international story. So you could have you know, some Minnesota fan being like, oh, shoot, Tatum's playing the Warriors. Take the Celtics. He's going to try to kill him. That mentality could be pervasive throughout the basketball world. And we'll see. Now, I do think Tatum has some of that in him. I don't, you know, he may not be Kyrie Irving. We're only on national game. Remember that whole streak a while? I don't think he's that. But I think he's got that showman in him. And we talked about it yesterday. I think Jaylen Brown not playing, while bad for the Celtics in the long term, with that injury kind of lingering longer, and now people starting to wonder, is that a bigger deal? Do I need to pay attention? Is that not an NBA injury? Is that like a real injury? Because I do feel like in general in the NBA, because of all the load management crap right. and the way they label, oh, he's got a hip flexor, so he'll be back on Thursday kind of thing. And then it's like, wait, why does he keep missing time with this hip flexor thing? Is this a real injury?
Yeah.
And so, but tonight for Tatum, like, I think he's going to be looking to put on.
He's going to want to bury him.
I would take the over in the first quarter. I think I heard Keefe say it was 10 or 11.
10 points for him. Tatum.
And the over in the quarter. I would take that. I think he's going to come out firing. Now, the one problem is he's got to shoot well, because if you come out firing, that could be detrimental, especially if he's looking to prove a point and having one of his off-shooting nights and you don't have JB to jump out there and take over the reins, kind of.
In fairness, he hasn't had a lot of those so far this year. He's shooting the ball well. He's shooting 48% from the field. From three-point range, it is not quite as good. It's 35%, which is still not bad. I mean, that's he'll take that from him. But yeah, he's getting it up there. He's right around 50% from the field. He's taking about 20 shots a game. I think that this could be one of the ones where you see him get to the line a lot. I could see him going up there challenging Draymond Green. It's in Boston, so I could see the refs and the fans and everybody. This is going to be...
Is there a new court?
A new Celtics court?
I saw the Celtics tweet out a court.
Oh, for the in-season tournament?
Yeah, but they're not using that tonight, right? That's just for the in-season tournament?
That's only the in-season tournament that they use those
for. Yeah, I saw their Twitter put out a new court.
Though. Those courts are garish. You know,
what does garish mean?
It means sort of flamboyant looking, like they're very, very colorful. You know, it's very,
yeah, they are.
It's like it lights up the whole room.
They look
when you're
slippery
watching on TV.
Too.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know why the color makes me think one is slippery and one isn't, but they look slippery to me.
Yeah, they do seem that way too. Anyway, you expect Jason Tatum to go off tonight.
I absolutely do. I sprinkled a little something in my FanDuel app for it. I think the Celtics will cover. I think Tatum, I did plus 30 was my line. I know Keith did plus 35. And while the question of Tatum's killer instinct will always linger for him, and some people will read his tone and comments not being fiery and just that sort of, oh boy, Steve Kerr's here, I do think he has an internal drive that will be part of tonight's story. I do. Now, you said it. They're a pretty good basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
So that they're not, you know, Charlotte. They're not Atlanta. They're not a pushover team. This is one of those, like I said, Indiana was a losable game,
yeah.
A team that plays you tough. I think this is a losable game. Like, I will not say they fell on their face if they lose to Steph Curry, Steve Kerr, Draymond Green and company. Like, that's a pretty good basketball
team. Buddy Hield, who's the pie leader,
Jesus.
We
We're
found
not doing
that out
that.
Yesterday. Well, listen, let me tell you this. Buddy Hield does not start for them. Buddy Hield is a bench player for them. I was looking this up because I haven't watched a lot of Warriors games this year, and he's their leading scorer. He's averaging 22 points a game. Curry's averaging under 20. Wiggins is averaging under 16. Like, it's not like they're scoring a ton of points here, a good defensive team. But Buddy Hield, off the bench, shooting a good percentage. He's shooting 52% from the field, 50% from three. He's always been a good shooter. He's been their secret weapon. He comes in off the bench. He gives them an immediate spark. And for a guy who was a starter in Sacramento, and I forget, where was he last year? Indiana? He was on a couple of teams.
Yep.
I forget if he was on the Pacers or not last year. But either way, he's been around. He's been around the league a little bit. He's bounced around. He's found a niche here. And it's working for him. And I think that's, you know, for a guy, for a team like that, for an aging team that's kind of aging out of their dynasty right now, who moved on from Klay Thompson in the offseason, who's trying to reestablish like an identity, they're right now one of the better teams in the league. They're, you know, three or four in the West and one of the top five teams in the entire NBA. And it's been due in large part here to Buddy Hield, of all people, which I'm surprised by.
Which is interesting because, I'm not even sure how many people know he's on the Warriors.
I didn't know that until we had the pie conversation yesterday.
And, you know, I think most people think, oh, is this a last hurrah for Draymond, you know, Green and Curry and sort of that era of Warriors, that championship era, that Hall of Fame era. And, I didn't know he was the... Was he like fourth in pie? Whatever the hell, then he's top five in pie.
He was up there in pie.
So he's a top five MVP candidate.
And he's very efficient. I mean, he's hitting all his threes, he's hitting all his shots.
So he might be the MVP.
I don't know about that. He's coming off the bench, so probably not.
But. He's the best player, you just told me, on one of the best teams.
Mm-hmm.
So he should be an MVP candidate.
And, well, you said the MVP. Maybe he's a candidate, but I think he's more a candidate
for
sixth man of the year. At the end of the season, no, I don't think so either. I don't think he's going to.
His pie will probably drop.
Probably, yes. And I also think that pie, you know, when you're talking about bench players, is a different animal. I mean, you know, Peyton Pritchard's probably got a pretty high pie, I would imagine. Although he's had a couple
totally
of games
pie,
where he bricked it. Yeah, and he's not a great defensive player. I think he's underrated on defense, but he's not a great defensive player. I think Hield might be a little bit better, but again, I'm not really sure. All I can tell you is that this team right now is not your grandpa's Warriors. You know, they're not going to run and gun you to death. They're not putting up a ton of points. They're playing good defense, and they're getting great off the bench anyway, a good distribution of points from guys like Curry, Wiggins, Kuminga, and Buddy Hield's leading the way. So there you go. That's what to expect tonight here between the Boston Celtics and the Golden State Warriors. I'm interested in seeing how Steve Kerr plays this. I'm interested in seeing how he goes about trying to defend Jason Tatum, how to take away whatever sort of vengeance he wants to go out there and get. You throw a double team at him and you make him pass the ball. I think that's probably the viable strategy if you can do that. The Celtics have a ton of guys who can hurt you, though. That's the main thing. So we'll see how it goes. This is an interesting rivalry. I don't know if you – is the Warriors the Celtics' main rival right now, would you say? They didn't even play them last year.
Right. I feel like no.
I'd say no, too.
I don't – do they have a rival right now?
I'd say no.
I mean, right now – you could probably argue the Pacers.
The only team that beat
right?
them, yeah.
They had a tough four-game series, mm-hmm. and the only team that
toughest
beat them.
Sweep of all time, yeah.
It really was. the one thing we haven't talked about, and I don't know the answer to that. I'm not skipping past. We haven't talked about Cade. He's having a good start to the year.
Yeah, he's been a revelation this
I feel
year,
like
for sure.
If we were doing radio in Golden State, we'd be like, who's this Cade guy? And what's he doing playing a lot of minutes and rebounding and doing all the things? Like, he's been a sneaky big part of the start of the season.
Yeah, be nice to see him go out there, push Draymond around a little bit, you know, get the mix it up there. We'll
see. A little fight? You call him for a fight? You know his coach wants a fight. His coach wants more fights in general. NBA, on court, off court, the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm calling a fight.
Okay, fight tonight.
I think we're going to see a fight tonight.
Well, fight, right?
A fight, like, an NBA fight.
NBA fight. We're using air quotes.
There'll be a lot of swings and misses.
Yeah,
a lot of hold me back. You know,
probably not even swings
and misses.
Although
Draymond connects when he fights. Like, he'll stomp on you. He'll punch you in the face. Like,
I'm going to say there will be no punches thrown. There will be pushing, shoving, maybe like a kick, a little knee.
Who's that big Euro guy knocked down? He threw an elbow and just whacked him in the face. Nurkic, remember that? He's just swinging.
Is Kata a fighter?
Swinging crazy. I have no idea. He kind of looks like it. He's kind of got like a little head. He looks like
a tough definitely
guy.
Looks like.
He looks like he can scrap.
I wouldn't mess with him.
I mean,
you would because you're a boxer.
Of course. I mean, you know, you'd have to.
Despite what the public thinks about a potential matchup between the two of us.
Hey, listen, a lot of people get underestimated. You saw what happened with that yesterday.
Ooh, hey, Peyton Pritchard, 11.8 pie this season.
11.8 pie?
11.8 pie.
Question from the back, is that good? I don't know what a good pie is.
Well, he's been trending up in the past few years.
Good pie for Peyton Pritchard there. Maybe that could be his new nickname, Fast Pie. 617-779-7937. We'll take your Celtics calls here. As the Celtics, still number one on the power rankings, what's wrong with the NBA, and why are the Celtics being ranked against teams that are undefeated so far to start the year? We'll get into all of that and the overall philosophy the Celtics have here with shooting threes and how that's working for them and other teams in the NBA right after Stids gets you caught up on what's trending. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Boston Celtics, number one on ESPN's power ranking, and they've been there all year. It's WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcand, Andy Hart. Nice to have you with us today. We're about 20 minutes away from talking with our good friend Adam Schefter, one day after the trade deadline. We'll get his take on the movement around the league, the Celtics. How about the Patriots standing pat and their future this season and any other moves that may be coming up, guys who may be shaking loose after the trade deadline. I feel like, you know, you sort of get an idea of what these rosters are all going to look like for the rest of the year. You may even get more of an idea of what sort of moves teams are going to be making. Some of that gets telegraphed a little bit at the trade deadline, you see sometimes. So we'll see what Schefter has to say about that. He'll be followed immediately back-to-back by Brian Scalabrine at the top of the 4 o'clock hour, who we'll be talking to about this very topic here, which is the Boston Celtics, number one in the power rankings. Despite the fact that they are trailing the Cleveland Cavaliers in the East right now, who are a perfect 8-0, the Oklahoma City Thunder, a perfect 7-0, and then your Boston Celtics at 7-1, part of the five at the top of the league right now, who are more than one game over 500, because after that it is very mediocre. And I'm talking Lakers, Mavericks, I'm talking the Timberwolves, I'm talking the Nuggets, I'm talking the Knicks, I'm talking the Heat, the Pacers. All these teams are either 4-3, 4-4, 3-3, or 3-4. I mean, that's really it. The brunt and the really majority of these teams in the NBA right now are 3-4 win teams. And we're 7-8 games into the season here, and that's surprising to me. I thought you were going to see a little bit more separation early on. And again, it's very early to be saying all this stuff. But it is a little interesting how in the NFL right now, there's the haves, not that many of them, and the have-nots, and there's a ton of have-nots. In the NBA, there's five teams that are haves right now, and the rest of the teams are kind of have-nots, including some teams in the Eastern Conference who had major expectations this year and are stuck on one win. The Sixers and the Bucks are lottery teams right now, down there with the Jazz, the Raptors, the Wizards, like the crap teams in the NBA. You're sharing time right now with Giannis and Dame Lillard and Joel Embiid, who's suspended for three games for beating up a reporter or whatever happened there, which we can get to. They didn't beat him up.
He pushed him.
Shoved him. I heard he swung at him.
Oh.
It was a little swinging shove. I don't know, something like that.
Because I was going to say, with his reach, he should be able to hit a reporter. I don't care where the guy is.
I feel like that would be tough. You know, I got the reach on you. Embiid probably got the reach on this
on
reporter.
On everybody.
And his arms are like tree trunks. But other than that, I mean, that's all well and good. The team sucks, and they can't get out of their own way. He's suspended. They're 1-5. The Bucks are 1-6. The NBA is off to a pretty underwhelming start here as a league, I'd say, to start the year.
Well, I think you just touched on it is the key in the East anyway are the Sixers and Bucks. When you have two teams that are theoretical would-be contenders that have one win each and one guy is a mess in Embiid with everything that's gone on with him, with his health and then the way the health is being received and the pushing. And then with Giannis, is he going to be traded? Like, you know, I think we looked at it the other day. They were in the number one overall pick mode right now, for tankathon, and those are two stars. Those are two MVP candidates whose teams have a combined two wins a couple weeks into the season here. That's why the East. Now, the West is the West. I just don't know. You know, you have the Suns look like a good team. They should be a good team. They're supposed to be a good team. The Warriors, those are two older teams, kind of. And then you have OKC, obviously, undefeated as the young guns that people wonder how good they can actually be. I think the Celtics are the blend of everything. They're the known commodity with youth. Like, they're not old. They're like, they just kind of are the best team. And like, would you, you know, that's why I love power rankings. Cause if you just, you know, this that we're looking at now is called standings. Power rankings take into account opinion, right?
Yep.
That, like, how well teams are playing, how they're trending in the right direction, blah, blah, blah.
How a bunch of teams with the same record, who's better? Like,
who's
you have
better?
To do it that way.
Because otherwise, you just have standings and tiebreakers. Mm-hmm. Like, we are still better than AI. We can still put a human spin on everything. Celtics are the best team in the NBA until proven otherwise.
Yep.
And that's just the reality of the situation. That's why they should be number one in the power rankings. And Cleveland, I'm pretty sure, is not going to go 82-0, so they're going to lose a game.
No, I don't think so either. The Cavaliers, who are third in the power rankings behind the OKC Thunder.
I wish I knew where they were to start the year.
That'd be interesting to check out. Because
they've moved way up.
Yeah, Cleveland definitely has. The Thunder, I think, were a very sexy final pick. I'm not surprised to see them up there, and I'm not surprised to see them off to a good start either.
If we were doing, like, power ranking deltas, the most positive delta upward, I has to think, is Cleveland, and I think the two going the other direction would probably be Philly and Milwaukee. Whereas the Celtics, there's no change, right? They were the best team coming in. People still think they're probably the best team, even if they have a loss.
Yes, I would agree with that.
And Cleveland, I'm not so sure about.
Yeah.
I think they're a good team. We'll see.
Yeah.
Like, it's a long season, And
I like their roster a lot. I like Allen. I like Mobley. I love Donovan Mitchell, and I like the point guard too, Darius Garland. I like him a lot too. It's a good, solid roster, but it's not as good as the Celtics.
And when we were going through the East on opening night, we were talking about these teams, like which team could be the riser, which team could come together, which team could surprise.
I don't think a lot of Cleveland mentions.
Nope. I don't feel like there was. I don't feel like there was either. Didn't Scal bring up Orlando?
Yes.
As a team he thinks could be in that kind of mindset and mold. But.
And I think Orlando did okay in these power rankings. They are 13th in the power rankings in between the Miami Heat and the Houston Rockets. So, I mean, you know, right in the middle of the pack. There's a lot of stuff that's going to change here over probably the next week anyway. Well, with that many teams all with similar records, like eventually there's going to be some separation. But it's an odd start to the year.
And there's also the issue that I'm not talking about this now. There is a perceived generational talent, number one overall pick, right? That at some point is going to sway teams that are in the bottom quarter of the league. There is going to be tanking for Flag, right? He is that good. Like, there's a lot of people that have really high.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Wembanyama a couple
actually
years ago.
But yeah, he looks good.
But there are years where there's no name. At least there's a name. There's something you're pursuing if you're at the bottom of the lottery, top of the lottery, whatever the hell you want to call it. And I think Flag is going to affect some decisions down the end of the season.
Yeah. How's he doing, by the way?
I don't know.
The Duke's already started, right? College basketball started. I don't know. I feel like I haven't seen a lot of his highlights. So far, they've played one game. It was against the University of Maine. Shout out John Saucier.
Wait, he played the University of Maine in his first game for Duke?
First game.
That's pretty cool. Is that intentional, you think?
I think so,
feels
yes.
Like it must be set up.
Well, you think Duke plays Maine every year? I imagine that was probably,
But they might open against a lower-level school every year.
Right.
But the school where their best player is from?
Just so happens to be University of Maine.
That doesn't pass the sniff test.
He had an okay game. He wasn't great. He finished with 18, 7, and 5, 6 of 15 shooting. That's not great. He was 0 for 4 from 3.
Wait a minute.
But he was making plays. You know, he was making
Bronny's in the NBA, and he'd kill for those numbers in college.
Oh, absolutely he would.
Did you say 18, 7, and 5?
18, 7, and 5.
Bronny would kill for those numbers.
He definitely would. Not the greatest shooting night in the world, but still. I mean, listen, we're talking about him like he's Wemby, right? We're talking about him like he's
100%.
LeBron or any of these other
maybe not
prospects.
Quite LeBron. Let's back off LeBron talk a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, yeah, he doesn't have LeBron hype, but he's definitely got big-time hype, yeah.
I don't believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you're the hoop head, that I don't believe he is the number one pick.
I think so, yeah.
Is there another name that is going to challenge it?
There's probably some French guy out there who's everybody loves in the Euro League, but I've never seen him before, and I have no idea. The first two picks in this draft are two Frenchies, and I never heard of either one of them, so I have no idea.
Frenchies? Is that okay?
Two Frenchies.
My last name's Arcan. I can say Frenchie, I think. I think that's okay for me to say. That's our word.
Isn't that from Greece? Hey, Frenchie. Is that a character in Greece? Isn't that John Travolta's girlfriend or something?
I think it's a character in The Departed.
Yeah, there is Mr. French. That's right. There's in The Simpsons, that waiter. He's like, say it, Frenchie. Remember that? I forget what he wants him to say, croissant or something. Anyway, I don't know. There's probably a couple of Euro guys or something that I've never heard of who are somewhere in the mix, but I have no idea. I know that Cooper Flagg's the big name right now.
So Cooper Flagg.
And he's going to be the guy. Like, he's going to be the name until proven otherwise, I think.
Bleacher Report, I just clicked on whatever came the first mock draft.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper Flagg, number one overall. Number two is Dylan Harper out of
Dylan Harper.
Rutgers, I guess. So I don't believe there's a Frenchie. Ace Bailey?
Dylan Harper?
VJ. Why are you laughing so much at Dylan Harper?
I get it.
You guys back there know what I'm laughing at.
Why are you laughing at me?
I'm not laughing at you.
There's a certain actress that shares the
same
name.
I'm not laughing at you. There is a performer.
Porn?
I believe they prefer adult films, but yes, there is an adult film actress named Dylan Harper who's very, very well
very
known.
Very talented.
75% of the men on this show have heard of Dylan Harper.
I can tell you. I 25% feel like the least not. Creepy guy in the room. I didn't know the porn star's name. I feel pretty good about
myself.
Adult
film actress, as I believe.
Honey,
what
you
you're
listening?
Supposed to say.
These guys are creeps. I'm a good dude.
So Dylan Harper, what's it? What are his stats?
I don't know.
What are
he
his?
He is a Rutgers point guard, shooting guard, 6'6", 215. He's 18.
He's a Rutgers? Is he going to have a Rutgers be the
pro comp
top
would
three
be
pick?
Jalen Brunson or James Harden.
Interesting.
I don't want to alarm you, but according to this mock draft, the second pick is from Rutgers. The third pick is from Rutgers as well.
Really?
Is Rutgers the best team in the country?
Is this the Rutgers mock draft, maybe? Like, I have no
idea.
Did
I click on the wrong thing? It just says NBA mock draft 2025.
Interesting.
With pro comparisons. And they're all There is a guy from the Bahamas, but he's at Baylor.
Okay. If you're watching on Twitch, by the way, that is
no Frenchman.
That is Dylan Hart. Does that ring any bells there, Andy?
I've never seen her before in my life.
Sure, yeah.
I can honestly say that.
Andy still watches Debbie Does
At least
Dallas.
Not with clothes on. No, I don't think I've ever seen her before. She's really famous?
I wouldn't say she's like top 10.
You guys are getting creepier by the minute if you know if you're familiar
50.
With like you know 50 porn stars?
I mean, maybe.
We just came up with a segment. No. Can we do Stiz off the top of his head how many porn stars he can name and then we check them to see if they're real people?
I'm into that.
Porn star name or like sports athlete?
No. I just want to see, like most people say, oh, I don't know if I could do all 50 states. I couldn't name them all. You can name 50 porn stars?
I may have been, you know, a
By the way, you said, top 50 is in there some sort of like AP rankings. I didn't know. I was not familiar
There's power rankings for sure.
Are there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to know how that's judged.
I think it's sort of subjective.
I think it's very subjective.
There's
I would
no
guess.
Standing. It's like it's just a power ranking. Just like these.
So Dylan Harper going to be in the lottery next year along with some other Rutgers players and Cooper Flagg. I don't know if there's going to be a mad rush for everybody to tank for these Rutgers guys like there will be for Flagg. And maybe Flagg isn't, you know, he could be more hyped than substance there too. I will say this, though. None of this matters to the Celtics.
Nope.
And entering Monday's game in Atlanta, Tim Bontemps wrote this in the power rankings. He said, entering Monday's game in Atlanta, the Celtics are averaging more than 53 point attempts per game, 5 more than the current record holders, the 2018-19 Houston Rockets, and 6 more than any other team this season while making 38% of them. That's given Boston a built-in scoring advantage to start just about every game and expect plenty more to be launched this week inside TD Garden as Boston hosts Golden State and Brooklyn, both of which are in the top 8 in 3-point attempts. That's an interesting aspect of this game because the Celtics, it's not like they weren't shooting threes last year, but they're bombing threes this year.
Yeah.
And they're going up against the team that really kind of started all that. You know, like Curry and Thompson and I guess Durant, too. He's not there anymore. But you know what I mean? Like the Splash Brothers, they were sort of the poster children of this new revolution of three-pointers that are getting shot now. And I know it's the Rockets or the holders. It was must have been, was that a James Harden team? It must have been a James
Feels
Harden's
like
Rocket team, I think, in 2018. But I'm not sure. Either way, you know, this is the way the league's going. This is what it is right now. This is where you are. And you may not like it, but if you're a Celtics fan, you shouldn't be too bothered by it because the Celtics are right at the forefront of it. The Celtics are riding the wave of where this new league is going, and they're the best at it right now.
They're the best as a team. The thing that I think stands out is I don't know you'd say any of their shooters are generational like a Curry or even a Klay Thompson.
That's true.
Right? Like, they don't measure up to those two guys, but as a team.
But if you have 5 guys who can all shoot, the Warriors never had that.
Right. The breadth of their ability to hit threes. Now you have me worried that this could be a terrible game because you know my fear, and I know Scal thinks I'm crazy because I fear this, but when these teams are cold, it makes for a bad basketball game. And if one of these two teams is cold and it's not the Celtics, it'll be fine because they'll blow them out. But if these two teams are cold behind the arc, it means I'll be watching bad basketball.
Okay, a couple of corrections I'd like to say. Number one, they get in The Simpsons, they tell the Frenchie to say chowder, and he says it funny. He's like, chowder. And that was Mayor Quimby's son. Also, Dylan Harper, the basketball player, according to someone in the 860, is Ron Harper's kid. Him and his best friend both play at Rutgers, and they're both top 5 picks. So there you go. Maybe a little collusion going on there with Rutgers. Duke and Maine was also set up. Flagg's twin brother, Ace, committed to play at Maine next year. And the AP rankings would have a different meaning when judging porn. That's true.
There's also the next line down, a scouting report on her that I can't say on the air. But
let's go ahead and leave that one there. Let's see. The scouting report.
Just below the attaboy, Andy. 978.
I haven't noticed that critique, but I'll take a look next time. 617-779-7937. Mark is in Dartmouth. Go ahead, Mark.
Andy, what's happening?
What's up?
Am I Mirage
over? You going to Hopkinton tonight? I know.
I am not. My wife is, though. Big Dartmouth-Hopkinton volleyball playoff game. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can fill in on the conversation you guys are having if you want.
Which conversation? Not the Harper conversation.
No.
Save that for off-air.
No. Yeah, that's it, yeah. Hey, listen, you guys had a great point a few days ago about Elliot Wolf, and in my opinion, there's zero chance or zero opportunity for him to run the 2025 draft. It's probably the most important draft we're going to have in a long time. He's got, 5 duds from this year's class. The only one is obviously May. So in my opinion, you guys are 100% correct. He needs to go. Someone else needs to come in. more experience or something, but it just, there's no way we can entrust this guy with free agents or draft picks going forward.
Yeah, listen, Mark, Dartmouth Townie gossip notwithstanding, I think you make some good points there, absolutely. And I think that there's something to be said for that. I don't know that I trust Elliot Wolf to be the main guy in charge of this upcoming draft, and I don't know if the Patriots do either.
So he said something interesting there, though. The most important draft, which we thought last year's was, right?
Right. That's what people say. It's like the elections. This is the most important draft in the history of the world.
But I actually think you can make a strong argument, because last year, if you blow the pick, you're just like a bunch of other teams that blow the quarterback pick and you look for a new one in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now you hit the quarterback, but people like you are saying the rest of the team blows. You're not surrounding him with any talent.
People like you are saying that too.
That's true.
Okay.
But, like both of us.
Yeah, right.
Are saying, I think it's worse to ruin the quarterback than it is to miss on the quarterback in a way. You hit on the quarterback, but then you miss the next year and missed on his wide receiver, missed on his tackle. And now you're ruining something that should have been your frickin' Willy Wonka golden ticket, right?
Yeah.
So in a weird way, or if you make the decision to trade even, in a weird way, I do think you can argue that this is the most important draft. And I never saw that coming.
Yeah.
That's a good call, Mark.
Yeah,
good call, Mark. Good luck, Indians, tonight.
617-779-7937 is your phone number. When we come back, we'll be joined by ESPN insider Adam Schefter. WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, and we're joined on the hotline right now by ESPN's Adam Schefter, who's brought to you by Liberty Bank and by Coleman Electric. It's electric. Adam Schefter's electric, and he joins us right now. Mr. Schefter, how you doing?
Hello there, Christian and Andy. How are we doing today?
We're doing just great. Nice to have you on. Nice to talk with you here the day after the NFL trade deadline. Last week when we discussed this with you, Adam, when we discussed the Patriots and what they might do, we sort of came to the conclusion that they were going to be active, or at least try to be. Any rumblings as to potential deal? They stood pat, obviously, but any rumblings that you heard about potential deals that they had maybe in place that fell through? Were they active? Were they working the phones? How did that all go for them?
Every team works the phones, and I never heard that they were close to anything. That doesn't mean that they weren't, but I never got word, oh boy, we need to watch this year that they're about to trade this guy or trade for that guy. I always felt like it was an unusual situation when they were linked as buyers. Like, what in what universe does that make sense? Why are they buying now? They can spend whatever they want in the offseason and free agency. They can supplement and complement the roster then. Like, what are they adding for? What's the urgency to go add to the roster right now? Now, if there's a value there, of course. But if there's a value there, I'm sure there are going to be other teams interested in that value as well. So I never subscribe to the theory that they would be buyers at the trade deadline or very active in the trade market. KJ Osborne, there's an example. You know, would he have liked to have been traded? Probably. But there were a lot of wide receivers that were moved. And there were more wide receivers that were available than there were teams that actually needed wide receivers. So, again, I don't know who they were trading for, and I don't know who they were trading away, but I never heard that anything was close. And that doesn't mean that something didn't happen that I don't know about. That's certainly possible. But I never heard something that was very close.
Adam, Gerard Mayo kind of downplayed the trade deadline. He brought up, you know, it's not baseball, it's not the NBA, not a lot of big names get traded, where we actually saw some this year. Obviously, the receiver position had some big names dealt. What is the general perception around the league about the deadline? Are people aggressive? Do they think you can get a lot of talent moved during the deadline? Or are they more like Gerard Mayo, where it's like, it's not like baseball. We can't just make deals midseason and bring in great talent?
Well, I think people are open to making calls and doing their due diligence, but I think people also are skeptical. It's not like you're getting some great solution walking through your door that's going to turn around your roster on November 5th. That's not happening. And if we go back and look, there's been an increase in uptick in activity in recent years, and I think the ways of baseball and basketball have spread to football. Football always had been conservative, but there's a new, younger breed of general managers. They're more aggressive than ever before. They're engaged more than ever before, and we've seen some teams have some degree of success at the trade deadline, which I think has opened up the idea that people are willing to do it. But if we go back and look, even with the uptick in activity in recent years, there aren't many players who have come in and made a noticeable difference on the roster, and I think people are aware of that. I think that's one of the things that Gerard Mayo is referring to there. Yeah, of course you're going to make calls. Of course you're going to look around to see if there's anybody available who you might like. The Dallas Cowboys had a high grade on Jonathan Mingo and paid a high price for a wide receiver who was basically relegated to backup duty in Carolina. But the overwhelming majority of trades, the player doesn't have a dramatic impact on that roster. Therefore, there's no great urgency to act out to make a deal for your roster that may not even help it. So I think that's what Gerard Mayo was getting at, because that's, I think, the opinion of a lot of teams. Like, everybody's looking to upgrade their roster. That's your job. That's what you're supposed to be doing. But it doesn't mean that it can get done.
Obviously, a team that's in a different cycle, as Mayo would call it, the Kansas City Chiefs, it looks like Hopkins could be one of those success stories of a trade. Yeah. Do you think he could be a true game changer for them? It's weird to say because they were already undefeated, but right. he put out a picture on social right. media of Tom Brady and Randy Moss hugging, so he's certainly feeling pretty good about their chances.
Well, game changer sounds, I mean, I would say difference maker, and he looked like it on Monday night, and obviously he thinks he can be a difference maker because he posted a picture yesterday of Randy Moss and Tom Brady when they played together for the New England Patriots, and I think that he believes that they can have that type of impact. And I would say that DeAndre Hopkins definitely can impact that roster. I don't know that it's going to be that way on a weekly basis. Maybe it will be. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. They have a great need. They have a great quarterback. He's had great skills in the past. He can track the ball. I think when you spoke to people around the league, what people said is he's not a separator. He doesn't have great speed, but he does have a great wingspan. He does catch everything. He is a tremendously productive receiver. He's been, you know, at various points, one of the top receivers in the league. I don't think that people across the league view him like that anymore. But you know what? I don't know if that's because he was playing in Tennessee the last 2 years. Maybe with Mahomes. Mahomes is going to elevate him the same way that Brady elevated Randy Moss.
We're talking with Adam Schefter, ESPN. Adam, obviously it was an exciting game for the Patriots. They didn't end up winning it, but that play by Drake May at the end of regulation, obviously a big highlight there. Would you say that game has boosted his profile around the league among rookies and other teams sort of evaluating him? Is that fair to say?
No, I think that people were impressed. I think it's watching that game and seeing that play, I think it gives people a glimpse of the type of talent that he has. That's what you're looking for out of a quarterback, a guy who can extend plays, make things happen, be elusive in the pocket, then somehow find a way to get out and throw a football that's caught for a touchdown. I don't think, again, I'm not disrespecting the Patriots. It's not like people are waiting to see Patriot highlights and say, well, look at this Drake May guy. You know, right now, they're at the bottom rung of the league. And so, you know, people are more consumed with DeAndre Hopkins and Patrick Mahomes and Derrick Henry and the Baltimore Ravens than Drake May and the Patriots, just the way that it is. But that was an impressive play, and it shows you what he's capable of doing and why the Patriots drafted him with the 3rd overall pick and why they were unwilling to move that selection.
Can he be one of those guys? I know we talked about C.J. Stroud, obviously brought wins to Houston last year, but also brought sort of a swag that it seemed like people wanted to play there. There's already talk Jaden Daniels. People wanted to be traded there, supposedly at the deadline, to play with Jaden Daniels. Does Drake May have that kind of attraction? Can he have that kind of attraction to help put them over the top when recruiting people in the offseason?
I don't know that anybody can answer that right now. Like, it's still very early in the process. And C.J. Stroud didn't become C.J. Stroud until the back half of the season and the playoffs. So, to me, it's too early. Like, if Drake May continues ascending and making plays like that, that's going to get people talking. It's going to get people's attention. And I'm sure it would result in people being open-minded to coming to play in New England with him. If he doesn't improve, doesn't ascend like that, then no. But how many games has he started here, we're talking? 2 or 3 games? There's not a large enough body sample size of work to say what he is or isn't going to be just yet.
Fair enough, yeah, and it's only been 3 starts. Who do you think came out looking the best after the trade deadline? Who do you think has the most, best outlook here coming into the second half of the year?
Well, again, you know, Kansas City, what it gave up for DeAndre Hopkins, it wasn't a deal that was made yesterday, but he looks like he's going to make an impact for them. So you'd have to start there. The Commanders made a big splash yesterday. Saints had to clear up some salary, and they go and get Marshawn Lattimore, four-time Pro Bowl cornerback. So we'll see how that works out. The Lions, I mean, that was the biggest no-brainer move ever, Za'Darius Smith. Like, everybody was waiting for that to happen, and it finally happens with the deadline upon them later in the day. And Detroit has looked like, with all due respect to Kansas City, the best team in the league. And now you go get a former three-time Pro Bowl defensive end. He may not be that anymore, but in that defense, he's definitely going to be a factor. He's definitely going to be felt, and he definitely upgrades that defense in the absence of Marcus Davenport and Aiden Hutchinson.
Shefty, not to set you off late in the conversation here, is Robert Kraft going to make it this year?
He should. Oh, he should have made it a while ago. I mean, it's ridiculous that he hasn't, and I can't stand that they make these people wait when he is going to be in the Hall of Fame and he belongs in the Hall of Fame. I can't answer how a politicized process is going to work and whether or not he's going to gain entry. He belongs, he should be, and we'll see if people wind up doing the right thing in the end. When is that decision made? Do we know?
The decision. He just made the cut down to 9, I believe, in terms of contributors, so final stretch.
He should make the cut down to 1, too. He should make the cut down to 1, too. So let's see if people can figure that one out.
All right, we'll leave it right there then. I'm Adam Schefter. I think you're probably right. It's not the toughest field this year, so I think he's getting in this year. Thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Christian, you have a great week. We'll talk next Wednesday.
All right, that is Adam Schefter. If you missed any part of that interview, then you can check it out on Audacy.com. That's AUDACY. Download the Audacy app. Save WEEI as a favorite, and you can listen to any part of the show wherever you go. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Back-to-back guests here as we come to the 3:45, 4 o'clock corner. Brian Scalabrine joins us next. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.